Good morning, and welcome in the name of Christ. We are so glad that you have taken the time to join us for this morning's message. Today we are continuing to look at the story of King David and Bathsheba, taken from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 11, verses 26 through chapter 12, verses 13, the first part of that verse. David's story should be a cautionary tale for us all, especially for anyone who is in any kind of a position of power or authority over other people. While this is a story of moral failure, it is even more so a story about the abuse of power. Let me ask, what are we to do when we see someone behaving badly? What if it is someone we know, someone who regularly attends church and professes to be a Christian? Do we simply ignore it? Or do we point it out and try to get the person to see how they are behaving? How is your own conduct? We all must be very careful about pointing a finger in anyone else's direction because we know all too well that we also have our own challenges and weaknesses to deal with when it comes to our own behavior. David was known as Israel's greatest king, was even called a man after God's own heart. But yet he did some things that were reprehensible and shameful. But even the best people among us have had their moments of weakness. There is an old saying that goes like this: every saint has a history, and every sinner has a future. When we examine our own behavior, what do we see? Don't we usually come to the conclusion that our behavior is better than most? Oh, there may be a few little things we think we are a bit out of line on, but for the most part, don't most all of us believe that we are just a pretty good person? And the way we often reach this conclusion is that we compare our behavior to someone we think is worse than we are. We will point to someone we think is much worse than we are and say something like, "Well, I'm not perfect, but I'm a lot better than that guy over there." There's a story I heard the other day about some people behaving badly, or perhaps not. After I gave it some thought, it seems that whether their behavior was good or bad is rather subjective. An elderly man tells us his story. He says, "My wife and I went into town the other day to go shopping and pick up a few things. When we came out of the store, there was a policeman writing out a ticket. We immediately walked up to him and I said, 'Hey, how about giving a senior citizen a break?' Well, he just ignored us and continued writing out the ticket, so I called him a blank. Then he turned and glared at me and his face got red. Then he started writing out another ticket for having worn out tires. So then my wife walked up to him and called him a blank blank. Well, he didn't even look up from what he was doing, but finished the second ticket and put it on the windshield with the first one. Then he started writing out yet a third ticket. Now, this went on for about 15 minutes. The more we protested and abused him, the more tickets he wrote. Finally, he finished and, sneering at us, he walked on down the street. Just then the Oats bus arrived, and we got on it and went home. When my wife and I are out and about, we always look for cars with Hillary bumper stickers on them. We try to have a little fun each day, now that we're both retired and all. You know, it's so important at our age to have a good laugh." So let me ask, was the behavior of this couple good or bad? Well, that very likely would depend on your politics and whether you were a Hillary supporter or not. If you were, the behavior of this couple is reprehensible. How can they call themselves Christians and engage in that type of behavior, you might say. But if you were not a Hillary supporter, you might think that this is a funny story and would commend them for their cleverness. The fact is, when it comes to our own bad behavior, most all of us go through life with blinders on. Why is it that it is so easy to see bad behavior in others, but so hard to recognize it in our own lives? This puts me in mind of something that British diplomat and author Harold Nicholson once observed. He said, "We are all inclined to judge ourselves by our ideals, others by their acts." The reality is that we usually are very quick to overlook our own bad behavior, but we have a difficult time admitting to it unless someone points it out, names it, and shows us just how badly we have been behaving. This is why God sent the prophet Nathan to David. Nathan appeals to David's own sense of justice by telling him a story about someone who has been treated very unjustly. And David, being a good king, reacts as a good king should. We read in verse 5 that David burned with anger. David's first reaction is a bit zealous. He first suggests that the rich man should die. But then David reconsiders it and says that the man should pay 4 lamps in exchange for the one the rich man took. David's suggestion of what should be a just punishment for the rich man is much greater even than the law of restitution we find in the book of Leviticus, which states that the original thing that was lost should be restored plus 1/5 of its value. King David had been behaving badly. Again, this story is not just about a moral failure, but more to the point, it is a story about the abuse of power. He was abusing his power as king and taking Bathsheba, who was a married woman, for his own pleasure. He then made an already bad situation even worse when he began trying to cover up his misdeeds by manipulating circumstances so that her husband Uriah, an honorable man, would be killed in battle. This was all done in an effort to merely save face and to cover up David's own indiscretions. But when David is confronted with the story of the rich man who has so much but takes the only lamb a poor man has, David is ready to dish out justice and stand up for the little guy who is being treated so unjustly. And that is when Nathan looks at David, points his finger at him, and says, "You are the man." Unlike many people who are in the news headlines today, to David's credit, when Nathan says, "You are the man," David doesn't make excuses or try to deny what he has done, but he accepts responsibility for his actions and acknowledges his sin. He no longer tries to cover up his misdeeds, but exclaims, "I have sinned against the Lord." Now, this is where we can get ourselves into trouble. Have you ever complained about someone else's driving while you were on the road? As you watched them, they slowed down and sped up, drove a bit erratically, and were even weaving back and forth, all because they were talking on their cell phone? Witnessing this, you direct a few colorful expletives in their direction. However, when your phone rings, you pick it up without a thought, telling yourself that you are a much better driver than that other person, and you will not be distracted by a phone call like they were. Have you ever been driving down the highway observing the speed limit and had someone just blow by you clearly speeding and thought to yourself, "Gee, I sure do hope there's a cop up there ahead"? But what about when it's you that is running late? Have you ever exceeded the speed limit or slid through a stop sign trying to get to your destination on time? And then how did you react if you were pulled over? How did you treat the officer? Perhaps you hear on the news about some millionaire who has just been arrested by the IRS for tax evasion. Doesn't it make you feel good? Don't you hope that person gets some much-deserved justice? But then when you do your taxes, you fudge on some of the deductions that you claim? Our hypocrisy, when we finally see it in ourselves, can be very frustrating. Why are we so good at seeing the bad behavior of others, yet have so much difficulty seeing it in ourselves? This is why it is so important for every Christian to be a part of a church, because we all need to be part of a community of believers where we have other Christians that will hold us accountable. After Nathan points out David's sin and he admits to it, he tells David that not only has he been blind to his own bad behavior, but he has also been blind to the blessings of God. David realizes that he is like the rich man in Nathan's story, who doesn't even recognize and appreciate just how much he already has been given and how many things God has already blessed him with. It is so easy to point the finger at someone else when we see others behaving badly, isn't it? And as part of a church congregation, we are to hold one another accountable for our behavior. But before we attempt to correct someone else's bad behavior, we must never forget that we all have our own blind spots when it comes to our faults and our weaknesses. Remember, Romans 3:23 is very clear. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All includes you and me. No exceptions. This means that all are in need of the salvation that Jesus offers. You needed Jesus to die for you just as much as anyone else in this world, because we have all fallen short of God's standards. It does not matter whether we have fallen short by a yard, an inch, or a mile. Short is short. And this puts us all in the same place and in the same condition. We are all in need of a Savior. Just as David needed Nathan to hold him accountable, to point out his sin and remind him of all that God had blessed him with, so we too need to be open to the voice of God speaking through others that are willing to point out our own bad behavior. We all have sin in our lives. May it not take someone pointing the finger at us and declaring, "You are the man, you are the woman," before we are willing to acknowledge it, confess it, and then take steps to make the necessary changes in our lives to correct it. Yes, when it comes to our own bad behavior, we often don't see it. And then there are times when we just choose to ignore it or even to deny it. As David needed God working through Nathan the prophet to point out his sin and remind him of all he already had been given by God, we also need to be open to the voice of God convicting us and working through the people in our own lives to point out the areas where there needs to be change. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." If we have a friend or loved one who is willing to risk making us angry by pointing out our own bad behavior, they have just proven to us they are a true friend. This is just one more reason why we need to be part of a church, part of a community of believers. To live our best life, we not only need the love and support of others, but we also need people who will hold us accountable for our behavior and to encourage us to always strive to be our best, so that we may be salt and light. Amen.